Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk. Women's Roundtable. We're coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington this Thursday, March the 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Sithandekile Mhlanga. Tonight, we are discussing part two of Al Jazeera's Gold Mafia documentary, which was released today and depicts what it says is further exposure on how huge amounts of gold are smuggled from Zimbabwe, which is Africa's sixth largest gold producer, to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and aiding money laundering through an intricate web of shell companies, fake invoices, and paid-off officials. The four-part documentary titled The Gold Mafia was filmed by Al Jazeera's investigative unit based on what it says are dozens of undercover operations spanning three continents and thousands of documents Zimbabwean government officials, including President Mnangagwa, are implicated in the documentaries. But first, a look at what is happening around the world. Today, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Tanzania, where the country's first female president, Samia Suluhu Hassan, has undone some of the country's more oppressive policies, such as ban on opposition rallies, even through, she came to power as a member of the ruling party. Harris is the first woman to serve as U.S. vice president. Her meeting with Hassan will be a noteworthy show of support from Washington, as the United States depends its outreach to Africa. She is expected to visit Zambia, raising excitement in the country, where she spent time with her Indian grandfather, who sparked her interest in public service, as Kathy Short reports from VOA for VOA from Lusaka, Zambia.
Kamala Harris becomes the first female U.S. vice president to visit Zambia, a stop that rekindles many memories here. Harris spent time in Lusaka as a child, visiting her maternal grandfather. Retired senior Zambian diplomat Leslie Mbula says the fact that Harris was born in 1964, 4 days before Zambia got its independence from Britain, makes her even more special.
That visit to Zambia is very valuable to us because it's going to put a stamp, first as a child, now as vice president, on the relationship between Zambia and herself. And in the process, of course, between the United States and Zambia.
Harris' grandfather, Painganadu Venkantaraman Gopalan, worked as a diplomat in Lusaka, helping refugees from then Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. He later worked as an advisor to Zambia's founding president, Kenneth Kaunda. Until his passing in 1998, Gopalan remained a guiding light in Harris' life, imparting values of civic-mindedness, public service, and human rights.
He was a great man. He came to assist the refugees that were coming from Rhodesia, and he played a great role in that.
For Tasila Mbewe, a lecturer in politics and governance at the University of Lusaka, Harris is a great role model, especially for girls and women.
It's really exciting to see somebody with that status actually visiting Zambia, and knowing the fact that she has some roots here, she's lived here before.
U.S. Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, says Harris' visit is a great deal for both countries.
Since being the vice president, she's interacted on a sustained cadence with President Hichilema, and so this is just the next step of their personal relationship that shows that partnership between the American government and the government of Zambia.
Zambia's Justice Minister Mulambo Haimbe says the entire government is ecstatic about Harris' visit to Zambia.
As we say in the African sense and African culture, our daughter is coming back home. So we look at that from the sentimental side of things to start with. But also, I think it underscores the bilateral relations between the U.S. and Zambia.
Zambia and the United States have enjoyed close bilateral relations since 1964, with Washington providing more than $500 million aid annually to support poverty alleviation, climate change, and health. Kathy Short for VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
And in other news, Zimbabwe's government has started 2 weeks of nationwide consultations on whether to abolish capital punishment for people convicted of premeditated murder, as Columbus Mavunga reports for VOA. People's views on the issue are varied.
Zimbabwe's government says it has signed a number of international treaties which require it to ask citizens if they still want capital punishment as a possible sentence for people convicted of murder or treason.
So we want to hear the voice of the people, want to hear their opinions, their views with regards to the death penalty. What really is the position of all the people of Zimbabwe?
It appears Zimbabweans have a wide range of views based on public hearings.
What is important is to prevent a person convicted of murder from rejoining his community, not to hang him. Just give him a sentence that will not allow him back to normal life.
39-year-old Godfrey Chikwesero disagrees.
If someone kills someone, he must be hanged. We have had so many cases of murderers leaving jail and coming back into the community to commit the same crime.
Zimbabwe has not executed a death row inmate since 2005. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has indicated that he's against the penalty. Roslina Muzerengi, a campaign coordinator at Amnesty International in Zimbabwe, hopes the current hearings will lead to the abolition of capital punishment. But she says the public needs more time to debate such a contentious issue.
And it would have been prudent if enough time had been given before the public hearings to enable communities to better understand the reasons why we are saying that the death penalty should be removed from our statutes.
Once the consultations are over, President Mnangagwa is expected to decide whether the country holds a public referendum on the issue or simply keep the death penalty on the books. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Karoi, Zimbabwe.
Yes, and to discuss our topic on revelations of gold smuggling by individuals affiliated with Zimbabwean government officials and the ruling party in Al Jazeera's second part of a 4-series documentary, we are joined by our guest, namely Nicola Watson, Member of Parliament for Bulawayo Central. She's also a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Comment on Finance and Budget, and a Citizens Coalition for Change member. Our other guests are Tekla Imbayaro, leader of political party Zimbabwe People's Movement, and Thembelihle Mthunywa of Economic Freedom Fighters Zimbabwe. And we also tried to reach the Minister of Information, Monica Mutswangwa, but by the time we came here on air, she still hasn't responded to our questions so that we could have got to the government's take on the issue. But for now, we'll start with you, Ms. Nicola Watson. What can you say about this second part of the documentary? Is it what you expected?
Well, I hope you can hear me. Good evening, everybody. I think that I've just read a comment that the second part of the documentary is boring. But I think what it is that it cements the information provided in the first documentary so that it gives those of us who are financially literate more of an understanding of the actual financial methods used in the money laundering. But quite honestly, Simon Radland's reputation merely is cemented. He's had a reputation for what he's been doing for a very long time.
Yes, thank you for that. Coming over to you, now, what can you say? We'll come to you, Ms. Mthunywa. What is your take on the documentary and the impact of the dealings on Zimbabwe's economy?
Sorry, was that for me again?
Yes, Ms. Mtunya.
Yes. Well, corruption has been the real downfall in Zimbabwe for a very long time. If we look back to prior to 2009, and the RBZ has had its hands in that for a very long time too, the quasi-fiscal activities of the Reserve Bank were what led to the crash of the dollar and the hyperinflation that ended with dollarization in 2009. And now we see them again. And Zimbabwe is again walking the perilous path of high inflation and a local currency which nearly diminishes in value constantly and drives Zimbabwe further and further into poverty.
Yes, thank you.
Whether it's so much. Not the corruption of money laundering or whether it's the corruption of government allowing these things to happen, it's corruption across the board, from the top to the bottom.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Watson. You can stay on the line, and we go to Ms. Imbayara. May you respond to what Ms. Watson just said.
Good evening, Zimbabweans within the country, those in diaspora, and citizens of the globe. Thank you, students, Studio 7, for having me tonight. Watching the Gold Mafia documentary, my heart was broken and split into pieces of pain. I was angry. I was appalled. I believe many Zimbabweans felt the same, the way I felt. But we didn't know to what extent ZANU-PF leadership is corrupt. But with this documentary, it was an eyewitness because we were all speculating and we knew, but we weren't sure as what is happening. Looking at the state of the country, whereby Zimbabweans are ravaged and shattered with poverty and suffering, while we see Hubert, for example, arrogantly boasting about how they use our resources for personal enrichment, the question still remains about what about the 64 plus minerals? How much have they taken? I want you just to remember that the $15 billion that simply vanished without a trace. ZANU-PF is not a government. It's too corrupt. It's way, way deep corrupt. It's like a mafia. It's like a cartel. That must go this year, 2023, when we vote. We have to vote them out. The impact of ZANU-PF is so great and devastating. The healthcare system is broken. People are dying in their homes. Families can't afford to put food on the table. It's a daily struggle for families. Industries have collapsed. Almost 80% of Zimbabweans are unemployed. While the ZANU-PF is boasting about stealing our resources, these are our resources. This is our country. We can't allow that. Actually, this is a humanitarian crisis which must be addressed now. Zimbabwe is too rich. Very rich for each citizen to suffer the way we are suffering. We need new leadership. It is every Zimbabwean's mandate to vote out ZANU-PF this coming election. It is a nightmare that must never be remembered. As Zimbabwean citizens, it's our duty as well to educate other fellow Zimbabweans who are supporting ZANU-PF for it to remain in power. So it has reduced the majority of Zimbabweans into beggars. It has stripped away our dignity. However, as ZPM, we have a vision of economic independence to all Zimbabweans. Upumi kuvanhu, vanhu ngavadye upumi hwavo ndehwavo, imoto kuzulu. Together, we'll be responsible and accountable to rebuild our collapsed industries, our healthcare, our human capital, rebuild our broken dreams and our dignity. Together, we can do this under the leadership of Madam Tekla Imbayaro, the president of Zimbabwe People's Movement. Thank you so much.
Yes, if I can come in there, Ms. Imbayaro, we saw that Mr. Angel himself, through the statement, his representative Roth was saying he knew exactly what was going on. And so it's not like he really did what he did. He knew what was going on, so he was playing along. And we also saw some players in that documentary. There were also disclaimers. Some were saying they've never done that. They are just upright business people. What can you say about this? Do you by any chance doubt the authenticity of the documentary?
Yes, when you come again, if the film was breaking, do you sorry for that?
Yes, the players in the documentary, the characters in the documentary, are denying that they really smuggled gold. What can you say about that?
No, we can't believe that. It's their propaganda. If you know that even if it's that and build a thing, they'll say they have built. They are liars right from get-go. This documentary, we can tell you what we saw. And we all knew we had that perception, or we did not, that instinct, that where is the money going? Where are the demand from the resources going? Because there's nothing to show for it.
Okay, thank you so much.
15 billion just disappeared.
Yes.
And no matter what they say, it's their culture of lying. So we do believe that this is exactly what they've been doing to our country.
Yes, stay on the line. We'll come back to you. We now go to you, Ms. Thembelihle Mthunywa of the Economic Freedom Fighters Zimbabwe. What is your take on this documentary?
Thank you so much for the time that you've given. Documentary, there's so much in it that has to be looked very carefully. First of all, it's just a documentary. It's not this account of fashion because they don't know so much. But the way, if it happens, if it is something that is happening in our country, here we are talking about our nation. We are talking about our economy. This is an economy. So you have to be very careful when you talk about it. If something like that is happening, then it has to be investigated a bit more so that because me, a representative of Economic Freedom Fighters in Zimbabwe, we believe that everyone has to benefit out of these resources because they are ours. There's no way to say that you know, it has to be just taken care of so that everyone has to benefit because this is our land, this is our minerals. If it will benefit others and others that don't, I don't think that's all I can say. And I think
yes, and I see that your party, the Economic Freedom Fighters, is advocating for the removal of borders in Africa. And we saw in the documentary the phrase, remember, this is Africa. If you grease the wheels, everything moves smoothly. That's what someone said in the documentary. Do you believe that's the correct depiction of the continent?
Sorry?
Yes, do you believe it's a correct depiction of the continent that Africa is corrupt, therefore Zimbabwe is corrupt? If you grease the wheels, everything moves smoothly, that everything operates on bribes.
Oh, what I can say is everyone can see economic is in Africa as a whole. It's not stable at all. I cannot point out who say Zimbabwe is corrupt or whatever, South Africa. But every continent, Africa is affected. It's just, you have to look at that.
Yes, do stay on the line. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Munguva yekushanduka kwezvinhu, apo nyika inenge isingaratidze chiedza. Zvatinonzwa, zvisingaenderane nezvatinoona. Tinotsvaga chokwadi. Patinoudzwa chidimbu chete chenyaya, tinoshaya chivimbo. Munguva dzekuoma kwezvinhu, muzviroto zvedu, remangwana ratinoshuwira. Zvose zvinoda nepfenyuro yakasununguka. Pano paVoice of America tinokupai chero nhau dzekuti vamwe vanoti hadzifanirwe kubuditswa sezvo dziine njodzi. Tinobatanidza pasi rose nekutaura chokwadi. PaVoice of America tinokupai zvizere pane zvinenge zvichiitika.
Yes, for those just joining us, this is Studio 7 Live Talk coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. And coming back to you, Ms. Nicola Watson, what can you say about the comments which Harare North Member of Parliament, Rusty McCombs, said he is calling for an audit of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe and its Fidelity printers to ascertain losses the country has incurred through the gold deals. Do you see his calls seeing the light of the day in Parliament?
Yes, he is quite right. And as a committee now, we need to also call the Reserve Bank Governor and the Minister of Finance for oral evidence on the whole issue. Plus the fact that the IMF have also suggested that Zimbabwe stops printing and making gold coins and selling them, because this is also another way, actually, of money laundering and of undermining the Zimbabwean economy, although it's purported to be a means of people retaining value. It actually is a method of moving money.
Yes.
Again, money laundering.
Yes. How do you see Parliament handling this issue? What is likely to happen in Parliament?
Well, it's only really just begun in Parliament with Oliver Markham's request for a statement from the Minister. So now it remains to be seen if the Minister will come to Parliament and give a statement. And the Reserve Bank Governor cannot come before Parliament except before the Parliamentary Committee. So when the committee next meets, probably on Monday, we will, as members of Parliament, request that he be called to come and give us oral evidence on the matter.
Yes, thank you. Coming to you, Ms. Mthunywa, ungasitshela ngesindebele ukuthi uthini ngomfanekiso lo othi kuloku khohlakala okuningi okwenzakala eZimbabwe. Abantu baphuma iziphathamandla zikahulumente ziyaphuma legolide njalo umongameli Mnanga kwangokwakhe uyakwazi ngesindebele.
Mane ndawo nxa ikhangele ukuthi umuntu ongesithembileyo ukuthi abe isikhangelayo iZimbabwe ilizwe ebe sekuqala elokusonakala omkhulu ukuthi kwenzakala into enjalo. Suka kusiphazamisa kakhulu thina abahlali bamendawo eZimbabwe sonke zewole ukuthi kanti siyisakhini siyamthemba njani ngoba into yethu yonke isezandleni zakhe. Siyathemba, siyakholela ukuthi uzasenzela kuhle. Ungasiphathile, njalo siye-confused. Siyathi ngozalani khona nxa sekubonakala kuliqiniso ukuthi kubonakele lokho kukhona kuyinto eyenzakaleyo. Yiphi into esingazange sayibona thina eyenzakeleyo? Sowushiya abekile dani yonkulu yenzele already vele ngabe sezibonakele. So sajabula nxa kungakhangelisisa kuhle. Nxa kuyinto efanele ilungise nesiphile nabantu thole ukuthola elizweni lethu.
Yebo, ke siyabonga ke Ms. Mthunywa lokho osiphe khona. And coming to you, Ms. Imbayara, we saw that in the documentary, there's one Mr. Cleopas Chidodo, who's an airport security manager. He explains how the gold goes through under his watch. It's a very lengthy process, and they can go undetected. Can you say the country's immigration services are very porous to such dealings, and Zimbabwe could be losing a lot?
That is very true, because when an employee, a government employee, testifies we are seeing his picture and he's saying he has his name, it's like a team working together. And what kind of leadership that employs every sector of all corrupt people at the end of the day? It shows that whoever is at the top is leading is corrupt to some extent, because how can you be surrounded by all corrupt people?
Sorry to break through. Yes,
so,
yeah.
So him to be saying whatever you are saying, I propose, and I remember I put a petition that all these government employees should be summoned by the parliament so that they go and testify and tell us whether they, whose voice is that, who said that, so that they are, we need an accountability on our resources. This is our money. This is our bread and butter on a daily basis.
Thank you so much. Can you also say that in Shona? Yes, thank you so much. Can you also say that in Shona, Ms. Imbayara?
Thank you.
Yes, you can go ahead in Shona.
or in Sean of
yes,
yes, yes. My mother cannot have a Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe people's movement, the matter of Zimbabwe people's movement, Manerano. To tell that I'm sure people who walk out to me in Nika, Takawana, the community, Gold, Yakam Gold Mafia. She was a very Ziva taste of finish a narrow street ticker. But we won't go back to Shun and his Gisco, and we can say that for the community.
Okay, thank you so much.
This is our nation and it belongs to us, not to the NPS, not at all.
Yes, thank you so much. And remember, we tried to get the Minister of Information, Monica Mutsanga, so that she could also give us the government view and what she thinks of the documentaries, but we're not able to. She still hasn't responded. Yes, we're still on the topic. We hope in the next days we'll have a comment. And coming to you, Ms. Nicola Watson, we saw that there are reports of some government official discouraging journalists from reporting on this series. What can you say about this deterrent of freedom of speech?
Well, the freedom of speech and the freedom of journalists to investigate, to talk about issues, is an absolute foundation of democracy. And those who choose to attack them are those who clearly do not wish to see real democracy in Zimbabwe. They are those who wish to crush freedom of speech, freedom of association, and freedom to choose.
Yes, but do you see government officials or the audit being done on this issue?
I think the person you're referring to who made the threat is George Shiramba, who is actually, I think, the presidential spokesperson.
Oh, yes, so yes, yes. We're not able to...
He's a government official.
Okay. Yes, but do you see any accountability here being taken by the government? What do you foresee happening?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with this, but I certainly think that it has internationally, if nothing else, deep ramifications for the government here. It's also a revelation of this constant propaganda about its sanctions that hold back infrastructure development, its sanctions that hold back our health system. No, it's not. It's theft of Zimbabwean resources by those in the top echelons of government and the society here who are stealing from Zimbabweans and taking advantage of the fact that our, or perhaps they drove the informal economy, artisanal miners, because that's where they can get the things which they sell and they money launder. And that is now where we are seeing the total emergence also of the drug trade and illicit alcohol trade.
Yes, thank you so much. That was Nicola Watson, Member of Parliament for Bulawayo Central. She is also a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Finance and a CCC member. And would also like to say thank you to Ms. Tekla Imbayaro, leader of Political Party Zimbabwe, People's Movement, and Thembelihle Mthunywa of EFF Zimbabwe. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm your host, Sithandekile Mhlanga. Have a good night.